T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Liam Maitland, KCBS Foodie Champ at San Francisco Brewing Company. With me, Josh Levy, owner. Good to see you, brother. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. How about yourself?
I'm great, man. I'm great because I'm in good company and we have brews. So first question, what are we drinking?
Today we have a flight of 3 different beers, kind of show off different varietals that we do here. We have a Blood Orange Kolsch. We have a black lager, and then we have a hazy IPA. So 3 different varietals, 3 way different beers across the board, but kind of showing off our ability to scale and do different styles of beer.
Where do we begin?
I'll definitely start on the lighter side, on the Kolsch side. It's a blood orange Kolsch made with about 140 pounds of blood oranges.
Cheers to you, Josh. Here Cheers. We go. We're going to meet your brewmaster in just a minute, but here we go. Or as I say in Ireland, sláinte. Oh, my word. Gift from the gods right there.
Yes.
Perfect. Let's talk about your journey, Josh. Did you grow up in a brew-making family?
So, actually, it's kind of funny that my great-grandfather started the first brewery in Baja California, Mexicali Brewing, in 1922.
In your bones, in your blood.
Yes, definitely. So, when Prohibition was coming around, he was came from Germany and started a brewery called Mexicali Brewing. And was there for over 50 years. So I'm a fourth generation, per se, brewer.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Your passion began when? Or, in fact, let's wind back the clock. Do you remember your first brew?
First beer that I ever brewed, or the first beer I ever drank?
That you ever drank.
Well, that's an interesting story. Was back east at a family reunion, probably around 12, maybe 13, and had a cigar in my mouth, and it's in Philadelphia at a family reunion, and I can remember that I went to the keg, and me and my brother had a couple, and we were on the hammock, and not doing so well with the beer and the cigar, and needless to say, it didn't end up well, but I remember that very vividly of having Killian's Red beer as one of the first beers that I ever tried.
What was it about beer early on that just ignited that joy spot within you?
Well, I think, you know, with our family background in liquor and in beer has always been around us as a family.
Yeah.
We have other side of our family is in the tequila making business. So we always had liquor around in the family. Not that we drank a lot of liquor, but there was always that good feeling of liquor, you know, and family coming together. So it always was there.
And that is a very European sensibility. You know, when kids... When beer is hidden or wine is hidden or any kind of booze is hidden from kids and, oh, can't have that, that's naughty, then that just spikes your curiosity. But when it's something as a kid you maybe get to have a taste of at special occasions, it takes away the mystery. And I think it probably improves the relationship with alcohol for any kid becoming an adult and of legal age.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the funny things was in high school, you know, there was never any liquor hidden. It was actually... shown off because my family had the tequila background, so they would send barrels to us in our living room, and you know, my parents would be like, "Hey, this is a very, you know, noteworthy tequila from your family at the Jose Cuervo," and we would try it, and you know, it was just something interesting. It wasn't like I had to steal or, you know, go behind my parents' back. It was always something in front of us that, you know, you knew that you didn't abuse and you could just try, and you know, growing up it was always around us.
So your relationship with booze has always been a healthy one?
Always a healthy one, and that's, you know, kind of what started my, you know, process into brewing was my interest in college and in brewing as well.
Well, let's drink to that. Let's go to number 2 here in the middle. What do we have?
This is a black lager, so it's away from your traditional colored lager, so it's black in color, but again, what it does is that stereotypically everybody looks at dark beers as heavy porter stouts, like, oh, that's going to be really heavy on me. Oh, yeah. This is a light lager and added some roasted malt in it to give it the black hue, but it's a lager by trade. So it's very light, very crisp, but black.
Here we go.
Cheers.
Oh, wow. That is light. Refreshing. It's funny, you know, often people, when you go to an Irish bar and you say, I like a Guinness, or they say, would you like a pint of the black stuff? It's actually red, not black.
Yeah, definitely. And this is, you know, this is not as true black as it could be. Yeah. But again, it gives it that light feel that you're, you know, hey, I'm drinking a dark beer, but it's not really heavy on the stomach like a stout or a porter traditionally.
Let's talk about your college days. You went to the Harvard of the West.
Yes, Harvard of the West. You know, everybody thinks it's Stanford, but it's really Chico State.
You have to love beer to get into Chico, isn't that correct?
Yeah, definitely. It's on your application. If you drink in Sierra Nevada, then you can get into Chico State. But my passion started there. You know, one of the founders of craft on the West Coast was Sierra Nevada. It's still family-owned today. Something to look up to. But definitely we got really cheap craft beer as well. So comparatively to a university in the Midwest that had to be forced to drink Budweiser, we were forced to drink Sierra Nevada. And talk about a great beer to drink, right?
Not such a bad thing.
Yeah, definitely. It was in, you know, being around that environment of, you know, community and small business, and kind of sparked my interest into brewing and started home brewing shortly after college.
I have to say, Sierra Nevada, the little brew company that could and did and has and still is.
Yeah, definitely. And they, you know, have put a model of sustainability and, you know, what family operations is about, haven't sold out to the big beer companies. And so that's really cool to see in today's age of acquisitions of beer companies that somebody that big and pronounced across the country and across the world is still family owned.
So college, didn't go to college to brew, did you?
No, went to college and got a business administration degree, emphasis in marketing and side emphasis in brewing. No, joking, but but business administration and took it into sales and then became a home brewer for the last 12 years before I started the company.
So as a home brewer, what's the best advice you could give to another home brewer? What were the biggest lessons you learned being a home brewer first?
Well, not every batch is going to be successful, right? It's trial and error. And, you know, you keep on trying, you'll make better and better product as you learn from your mistakes, just like anything in life. You learn from those mistakes and you try to build on those as, you know, kind of things that you can build to make better beer. And so what I did essentially is took that, you know, lesson learned every time and made better and better beer. And then eventually my friends were getting married and they said, hey, can you brew some beer for our wedding? And that's when I knew I started making good beer, is that my friends asked me to make beer for their weddings.
Yeah. So at what point, Josh... by the way, for those who've just joined us, San Francisco Brewing Company, North Point, Ghirardelli Square, San Francisco, talking to Josh, owner here, and the man at the helm. We are going to meet Brewmaster in just a minute. But Josh, at what point did you decide that you were going to take this seriously and that you'd form a company and you'd realize a dream?
Yeah, so in 2012, I did the startup realm in San Francisco, as any business, you know, guy, sales guy in San Francisco or Bay Area does, works for a bunch of startups, makes a bunch of money for the company and says, you know, I could probably do this myself at one point or scale into something of my own business, and decided that what better way to take my passion for beer and stop, you know, selling my homebrew and go, you know, professional, get the licensing with the state and the federal government and, you know, take it on to something the next level. So in 2012, while I was still at one of the startups, I started this company and I was delivering beer, don't tell anybody, while I was on my lunch breaks from the
secret safe with me, brother. I won't tell anyone.
Yeah, don't tell anybody. They went public, so they're good now. But anyway, so, you know, I was doing it part-time, you know, and I said, you know, to myself in 2012 or 2014, I said, I can't do both of these anymore. I can't give 100% to one job and 100% to the other. Yeah. It's either one or the other. And my wife was nice enough and awesome enough as a person and as a partner to say, go follow your passion. Yeah. And so in 2014-15, I left the startup world and started doing this full time, and which led us to where we're sitting today.
Well, Josh, you are all about passion. It's infectious how passionate you are about beer, about this company. So let's talk about the name, San Francisco Brewing Company, or Brewing Co. San Francisco Brewing Co. To me, it seems like it's a company that's been around for many, many, many years. How did you get this name, and what's the story here?
So if you go into Wikipedia, you can find San Francisco Brewing Co. has been through about 5 to 6 different iterations of the name itself, from Barbary Coast Brewing.
So let me do that real quick. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah. I see that. And on the last line is Josh Levy's, you know, acquired the name in 2012. And essentially what the brand has stood for over the test of time is, you know, a quality product. And unfortunately, the demise of the last company was in 2009, and I was lucky enough to acquire the name in 2012, and you know, start the company with San Francisco Brewing Co. There's other stories of, you know, other names I wanted to call the company that I really thought this, as a person from the Bay Area, with roots here in San Francisco, as my father owned a business in San Francisco, that I should call it San Francisco Brewing Co.
Quite frankly, no better name, is there?
No, especially not being in Ghirardelli Square. You know, when you look at what Ghirardelli is to San Francisco, and I'm hoping San Francisco Brewing Co. will kind of follow that suit and tradition of excellence.
Well, listen, let's talk about the space, Ghirardelli Square, iconic location. I'm sure when you proposed this plan to a few people, they said, are you out of your mind? Tell me about how you found this space and how it came to be what it is today.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody thought I was out of my mind.
Before you tell the story, we should say cheers once again. What are we drinking now?
This is our Hazy Valley 2. It's a hazy, juicy, tropical beer. So IPAs traditionally are very hoppy, West Coast style in terms of bitterness. This has very little bitterness on the front end and all of the aroma and the juices on the back end. So it's a new style that just got created with the Brewers Association as a category that can be judged, because so many people are making these styles today. So essentially it's a cloudy, unfiltered IPA with a lot of tropical hops in it.
Yeah. I love it. I just took a little vacation. In fact, I'm going to go back to the beach one more time. Here we go.
I could have a couple of those right now.
Wow. Throw me a beach ball. So you get the space.
Yep.
I'm sure there were a couple of people you showed your business plan to, and they said what?
You're crazy. As a first-time restaurant guy, taking on, we have 12,000 square feet here at Ghirardelli Square. So essentially how the project happened was, there was a beer garden run by Lagunitas 3 years ago out here on the plaza. And essentially I saw that and said I could do it better as a local business. Lagunitas now, unfortunately, is owned by Heineken. So I was thinking to propose a small business coming back to Ghirardelli Square. The owner said, we're not doing that unless you want to take a look at our restaurant opportunity. So walk the space. I said, I'm not a restaurant guy. I'm not going to do a restaurant. Mm-hmm. If you ask any of my friends, they'd say he never wanted to do a restaurant. He's a beer guy first.
Sure.
And I walked into the space that we're sitting in right now for this interview, and they didn't propose this in the initial offer.
Yeah.
And I said, the only way I'm going to do this deal is if we can bring brewing and manufacturing back to Ghirardelli Square, which left in 1963.
And it's back.
Yes, and back. And so, you know, when we proposed this idea of bringing brewing and manufacturing back, we did the beer garden last summer, and we're running it this summer as well. So we have 6,000 square feet of restaurant space, 3,000 of brewing space and tasting room, private dining, and then another 3,000 of beer garden. And essentially, we're one of the biggest brew pubs in San Francisco, and we have the biggest beer garden in San Francisco. So, yes, I'm crazy.
Way to go, Mr. First-time restaurant brewing entrepreneur. Listen, with good breweries comes good food. You do have a great menu. What I love about not just the fact that you can come here, enjoy the great brews, you know where they came from. You can actually see the tanks, brewmaster at work. I mean, this is a working brewery.
Yeah, definitely. And that's part of the thing that we wanted people to do, is be able to come and see all the equipment that they're actually drinking, you know, the beer. And so one of the things that was different with our brewery is that we're tank to tap.
Yeah.
So everything that you drink comes out of these vats. We have 8 bright tanks. Essentially, you're drinking directly out of the tank. So none of the beer here is ever kegged.
Yeah.
It's directly out of the vats, bright tanks, we call them, directly to the tap. So tank to tap, very fresh beer, always, you know, innovating different styles here.
Yeah. Was that an invitation to go and do some drinking from the tap?
Yeah, you just invited yourself, so I guess we're going.
Hey, before we do that, let me just introduce Justin here, you're the brewmaster. Justin, how did Josh find you?
Through a mutual friend who reached out to me, and I just thought this was kind of a run-of-the-mill brewery, and finally came down here. I'm really glad I checked it out.
Yeah. And so, obviously, Josh's passion, his enthusiasm, pretty infectious. How could you say no to this guy?
I couldn't when I saw the place, especially with this kind of creative freedom. And
yeah.
I mean,
you've got an ankle bracelet on, which means you're not allowed to wander too far.
Exactly, yeah. It starts zapping me.
Yeah. So you partnered with Josh. You're thinking about the brews that you want to sell from here, the brews that really will illustrate what San Francisco Brewing Co. is all about. What was that initial plan in terms of what you hope to offer here and what you are offering to those who love beer?
So, yeah, my background is quite diverse, and I have experience making mostly German-style lagers at the Gordon Biersch production facility. Also have a background in doing many of British ales and some other styles as well. So
you operate in Celsius, not Fahrenheit.
Yes, Celsius it is, yes.
How do you feel about that, Josh?
So when I bought the system and had it built, it was very frustrating after I hired Justin that he was a Celsius guy. And so we had to have the manufacturer come back and change everything from Fahrenheit and gallons to liters, hectoliters, and Celsius. But I've learned to love it. Everybody else in the world is on Celsius and that system comparatively to us in the U.S. that are on Fahrenheit. So I had to learn to love it, and I love it now because everything 0 degrees is freezing and 100 degrees is boiling. So it's pretty simple.
And, you know, for you, coming here, partnering with Josh, you have a new playpen.
Yes.
To work
it's
in.
It's a Ferrari.
New mad scientist lab. This is the Ferrari of brewmaking facilities, is it not?
Yes. So I couldn't be more excited. It's a premier stainless 10-barrel, 3-vessel brew house. And we have 6 fermentation tanks and 8 serving tanks in which the beer goes directly from the serving tank to the tap. So can't be any fresher.
And that's a beautiful thing, as Josh said, literally from the tank straight to the tap, straight to the consumer. That's pretty cool.
Yes, absolutely. And they seem to like it. Nothing like fresh beer.
So as the brewmaster, for our friends listening at home, we are talking beer, we are talking brews, San Francisco Brewing Company, Brewing Co. What makes a great beer? What makes a great brew?
Desire to make one. Give it the time, the right ingredients, and don't be afraid to try new things. And if you fail, don't be afraid to put it down the drain. And as long as you learn something each time, you'll get better and better.
I'm going to ask Josh this question too. Tell me about the beer that didn't make the grade. You thought, oh, this could be good, and then no.
So the only style that we didn't like was actually our very, very first batch, and it was a Czech-style Pilsner. We used some experimental malt from Admiral Malting across the bay.
Sure.
And there's a learning curve to using any brew house. So we couldn't quite nail our temperatures and our desired pH and really had to refine everything about that first batch.
Sure.
So it didn't make the cut. And,
next.
It went down the drain.
Onward.
Yep.
Josh, your thoughts on that little journey?
Yeah, that was a learning experience for sure. You know, putting a brand new system in front of you, it's not like driving a car for the first time, because everybody's driven a car. Every brew house is different. And when you're learning about, you know, pH in the water in San Francisco is not what you thought it was, and it would take this to get it to this level. pH is very critical in the brewing process, and then temperatures are very critical as well of hitting certain levels. And we didn't hit anything that we wanted to in terms of those parameters.
Yeah.
And so we thought the beer wasn't up to snuff, and one of my things is that I'd rather throw it down the drain than have a consumer, you know, question our ability to make a good beer.
Yeah. Big difference with winemaking versus brewing. Mother Nature plays an enormous role. Here it's more science, right?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I can say it's more on the, you know, the way that beer is produced in our system, but you have the fermentation. It's, you know, you don't let it and set it and forget it like wine and come back 4 years later. You come back 2 weeks later, but we can test it throughout the two-week process. And then, you know, like I said, it sometimes yeast doesn't want to kick off like you thought it would.
Yeah.
So then you have to add a little bit more. So there is some of that, you know, that you have to look into. But again, we've learned. We're on batch number, I think, 25 already in less than 3 weeks. So we're crushing beer here because Justin over here is making some of the best product in San Francisco, yet alone the Bay Area.
Yeah. Good job. Your job is done. You can go home.
All right. No.
It's going to be satisfying for you, Justin, as a brewmaster, to walk into the beer hall and look around and see people loving your brews. What does that evoke for you?
It's just a dream come true. And, yeah, I mean, I share their happiness is infectious. I can see people smiling, and that makes me happy. And even on the other side of that, I appreciate candor if someone has something not positive to yeah. say about the style, I can yeah. take that and learn from it as well. So,
and it seems to be an exciting time, especially in Northern California, to be making beer. It's a good time to be in the business. Beer is getting the love that for so many years it did not receive. Everyone talks about wine country, but it's fair to say that Northern California is also beer country.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I think that we're trying to help bring back to the San Francisco area, is that craft brewing is alive and happening. The city is only 7x7, so you don't have a big territory to put a lot of breweries, unfortunately, like other areas like San Diego County or LA, that's massive, right? We're so small and insulated here in San Francisco that I think it's awesome to have such good quality of brewers here in San Francisco yeah. that you can go to literally any part of the city and go to a brewery and find good quality product, because the Guild here in San Francisco cares about the product and we care about each other. And it's great to see that I can go down to another brewery and ask for help, and they're willing to help. And that's part of the whole passion of craft brewing, is helping out each other. We're all on the same page of making beer great again, I think.
Yeah. And there's a community that's small, but pretty tight, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's very tight. We all, you know, each other by first name. Actually, we're going to a meeting tomorrow over at Social Kitchen on the other side of the city to talk yeah. about a brewed IPA and about what our guild is doing for the next year, how we can help, you know, bridge the gap of where the consumer sees craft beer and how we can help them get to understand craft yeah. beer.
And what have you learned? I mean, you've only been open,
4 weeks.
4 whole weeks, my Lord. And by the way, also I've got to mention, Josh, also a new dad for the second time. You have a 3-year-old?
Yeah, I have a 3-year-old daughter, Olivia, and then I have a three-week-old son, Owen. So not a lot of sleep lately, so apologize if I stutter a little bit, but working on this business and, you know, 2 babies in 1 year, having opened a 12,000-square-foot restaurant and brewery and having a child, number two, has been interesting and no sleep.
When's baby number three coming?
That one's on hold. We need to make sure these two survive.
Let's drink to that, shall we? Here we
definitely.
Go.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, come on now, Justin.
Alrighty.
Join the party. Here we go. Cheers, guys. All right. Mm. My gosh, I have to say, and I'm not just saying this, raised in England, in Ireland, I grew up on a diet of great brews. If you're British, you have to love beer. That's why all my buddies back home are big beer bellies. Loving the brews, and I love what you're doing here, and I love the opportunity to go to a tank and have a little something from a tank. Can we walk over there?
Yeah, definitely.
And as we walk over, set the scene for us, Josh. Just to recap again, folks, San Francisco Brewing Co. We are in the belly of the beast, as it were. How many tanks? How much beer coming out of these tanks each day?
Yeah, definitely. So we're walking over to the 6 fermentation tanks that we have here to go through the process of creating alcohol. And after that alcohol was then created, we then either filter or we move it over to one of our serving tanks. And the serving tanks essentially are vessels that hold the beer like one giant keg, and we do the carbonation in there so yeah. we can get it to spec for that style of beer.
So from that initial, you put in the hops, The first part of the process, from there to the tap, how long is that period?
So anywhere between, you know, on an ale style is about 14 to 16 days. If yeah. you go into the Kolsch, you can get in 17, 18 days. And then the longer ones that we're realizing we don't have enough tanks for are sure. the lagers and pilsners, because cold fermentation takes anywhere from 30 to 45 days. So we've learned that ales are going to be moving in the summertime. Sure. That will brew more of IPAs, essentially, because 90% of market today is IPAs in the United yeah. States.
Almost like instant gratification, only having to wait a couple of weeks to get to taste the brews, right, Justin?
I wish we could do a nice balance of everything.
Sure.
There's a place in the world for lagers, for sure.
Yeah. What are we going to taste first down here? I'm following you down here as we walk through. What do we have here?
Yeah, so this is a hazy India Pale Lager. So again, this has been in the tanks for over a month now. We actually brewed this with the manufacturer, flew up here over a month ago because he loves our system so much that he built. And he's a former brewer, and we said, what do you want to make? Again, you know, the creativity that allows us to kind of just think on the fly, what do we have in the grain room? What do we have in the hops? What do we feel like? What yeast do we have available on the day that we want to brew? It's kind of like, what are we going to brew today? And so Justin and Tim from Premier Stainless went and said, hey, let's make a hazy India Pale Lager.
So, love it.
I don't know. There's not a lot out there, but we've made one, and you know, let's try it out. Let's go from the tank.
Off to you. I'm always curious about the names, Justin, and how you guys come up with your names. Is there a lot of back and forth? Are you all sitting around a table sharing ideas, or do you guys wake up in the middle of the night and go, hey, wait, I've got it?
A little of each, but Josh is definitely our official naming department, and he's very creative on that front. Yeah. So.
And the thing that's funny about the names is that everybody's like, well, what's this name? And well, I really don't have a name for just like an unborn child. I didn't know my son's name for 2 days after he was born. And so until it gets onto the serving side, it's carbonated and it's ready to be served to the public. Sure. I really don't have a name in mind. I'll think about some, but I really won't create a name until I have actually tried the beer in its finished state. So this one that we're drinking, unknown name, hazy India Pale Lager. So don't have a name yet, but if you come down to the brewery probably next week, it will be on draft.
Hey, how about no name beer?
No name beer, no name hazy beer.
Done. Sold. Cheers, guys. Right there. Here we go. Mm. Oh, my God. This is a fun day at the office, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
You know, one of the few jobs where you're allowed to drink on the job. If you're not drinking on the job, you're in trouble. You get written up, right?
No, it's a requirement. Yes.
Yeah. Well, what's the... how do you scold your team members who should be drinking and aren't drinking on the job? Do you write them up, give them a pink slip? What happens there, Josh?
If they're not drinking on the job, essentially they're not trying out all the beers on a daily basis. And so on the fermentation side, we have to be testing the beers every day and looking where they are in the state of, you know, getting close to finished product. Yeah. And so, again, if Justin doesn't do it, then he'll get a write-up and it'll be in his email. No, we don't do any of that around here.
I should point out that we are drinking, we are sipping, but these are teeny-weeny little tasters, right?
Yeah, these are 5-ounce tasters. This is what we do for our beer flights. You know, when we have enough IPAs, we'll do an IPA flight, which, you know, showcases everything from a session IPA all the way to a double IPA, which we just sold out of this week. But then also, you know, we'll do light flights as well. So give the consumer the ability to try lighter beers like our Blonde, our Kolsch, our Pale Ale that don't have a lot of bitterness, that are more for your light fare drinker.
I have to say, I'm loving this. I really am. Is this where you want it to be? So, you know, as the brewmaster, you take a little sip. And what's good about this and what's yet to be done?
So there's still a little bit of diacetyl in there, which is a buttery character aroma. That will disappear a little bit over the next week. And
it is a little buttery, right?
A little bit, yes. And that's something that comes about in all styles. Sure. And the goal of a brewmaster is to remove it by the time the consumer gets to it. So,
if Julia Child was here, she'd be going, more butter! She'd be on the floor probably by now. So I have to ask you, Josh, you know, you're starting a brewery. Who do you go to? Who do you go to help you design? Who has the model, the footprint from which you can create and, in fact, did create this new company?
So I don't think there's actually somebody you can go to. I wish there was.
Dear Siri, please find me someone to help me launch a brewery. She says nothing. She's quiet.
You're crazy. No, but essentially, you know, you have to surround yourself with a good team of consultants, the best of breed in all facets of, you know, from the brewery to the restaurant to operations to the bar to banquets. You know, you have to surround yourself with those type of people, especially myself being a first-time restaurant tour. Yeah. It's a new name for me, a restaurant tour. I didn't even know what that was.
Is it on your business card? We're going to get you some business cards. I'll have that handled.
It just says owner. Yeah, I'm not pretentious. I don't really, you know, I'll do every job here imaginable, from bussing dishes to cleaning floors with Justin to cleaning tanks.
I've seen you bus tables, man. I saw it. I saw you do that.
Well, you're not an owner unless you get, you know, into the trenches with your employees and understand what they're doing on a daily basis. So I think that's essential for creating a you know, culture of, you know, team. And that's always what I've been taught in every job that I've ever done.
You're all in this thing together.
Yeah, we're one team. We, you know, if one person fails, then we all fail, and so everybody has to be successful here.
I know that folks can come here. They can saddle up to the bar, do a beer flight, enjoy some great food. There's also an opportunity for folks, if they want to have a party here, a bigger occasion or special occasion, there's an opportunity for folks to have an event here if they want, right?
Yeah, definitely. And so we've done a banquet menu for people. We've already had wedding requests to get married inside the brewery.
Are you serious already?
Yeah, definitely. And receptions out in the beer garden. We had Lululemon here a while ago with 100 people. So Salesforce has been here. So all the, you know, this is a good place to show off San Francisco in a very good light because you're in Ghirardelli Square, which is one of the most iconic buildings in San Francisco. And then you throw San Francisco Brewing Co. and you throw an iconic company like us around. You have TVs here, so people have something to do and watch TVs. World Cup Soccer has been on here. The Warriors just won their third championship. So, again, there's plenty of stuff to do here. You know, so come out on the weekends. We're dog-friendly out in the beer garden. We are, you know, family-friendly. Of course, I have two kids, so they'll run around and create havoc around here, which is all good. You know,
get those kids to work when they're old enough.
One more year. Yeah, one more year, and the brewmaster, Owen, will be up here.
So I have to also just mention, outside, of course, you have an entertainment license, the first of its kind. Usually in the city of San Francisco, you know, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, but you have an entertainment license all year round.
Yeah, we have the first one. I had to go in front of the Board of Supervisors and plead my case that I wasn't going to throw a concert outside of magnitude and upset the neighbors, that we have an outdoor entertainment license to allow us to have local artists come and play on the weekends during the week in the summer to show off their, you know, skills. And just like when I was a home brewer, you know, showing off my beer to friends and family, we're giving that opportunity to local artists to come out and play guitar and do acoustic sets and stuff like that. So I think it's really cool to come out and see that local.
You mentioned the word local, Josh. I know, you know, Ghirardelli Square, through certain times of the year, it's, you know, visitors come from far and wide. But this is a local brewery where you're inviting locals to come, come one, come all, come enjoy, come hang out, right?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the tourist season comes and goes, but the locals are here to stay. And I am a San Francisco local. It's funny because I lived for 5 years, three blocks from here. And unfortunately, I have to say, back then, I wasn't really into Ghirardelli Square because there was nothing really cool there.
Yeah. Well, there is now.
Now there's something cool. We're the only craft brewery on this side of the city. And so we've seen a great influx and great response from the locals who haven't had something like this on this side of the city. So we love the locals. We treat them with utmost care. Because we know that they are successful. If they're here, we're successful. So, again, we love tourists. We love locals. We're here for everybody. So come one, come all. We're ready for you.
Well, listen, one more place that I want to visit. I want to take those listening. San Francisco Brewing Co. We're here. We're hanging out with Josh, brewmaster Justin as well. Can we go to the flight deck of the Star Trek Enterprise?
Yeah.
So, folks, we are inside the brewery. It's a brewery. It's a restaurant. It's a bar. There's a big neon sign that says, smile. There's beer. Lots of beer. So I'm referring to this as the flight deck. This is really, really cool. Justin said earlier it's the Ferrari of beer-making production facilities. Talk us through what's up here.
So this, like Justin says, a three-vessel system. Yeah. It's a 10-barrel brew house. So essentially, we can make up to 20 kegs at a time with this system. It has a hot liquor tank, which is right behind you, which is where we store all the hot water for the brewing process, which is one of the vessels. Then we have our mash lauter tun, where essentially that's where we get the sugar out of the grain and the color out of the grain to then create alcohol. So on the other side, we have our boil kettle, and this is where, when you said throw hops in there, when we're making bitter beers, like one of your British bitters, there's a lot of British Golding hops. He's Ken Golding hops in this one, and then we go through the process of cooling down the wort when it's done, and we send it over to the fermentation tank. So again, this is a three-vessel system. It's semi-automated, which means that this big control center that you're looking at right now is a big computer that allows us to control different aspects of it through air-actuated valves. So when he said Ferrari, this is not a Yugo. This is the Ferrari.
It's not a Yugo, Justin. you're happy about that, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
So, first day at the job, you come here, and you see, I mean, were you here as this was being built?
Yes, did
you,
I was involved in the... I was involved in the full-on build-out. Yeah.
So the dream team and all the dream machines too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So right in front of us here, Josh mentioned this is your, if you will, this is, what would you refer to this as? The
control center?
Yeah.
The nerve center, the control center. Mm-hmm. And so you can control the temperature. You can press a few buttons. I don't know what they do, but what kind of things can you do from here?
So essentially you can control different things like getting the certain tanks to a certain temperature so you can set points on there where I want it to get to, again, Celsius, which is something that Justin had this whole thing changed to. So I want the hot liquor tank to be at 82.8, which is around 180 degrees. Sure. And so you have all these red dots on here are all air-actuated valves. So you can turn certain ones on, and you can hear them underneath as turn on. And then you can turn these valves off as well with one touch.
Wait, are we having an earthquake? What's going on here? Oh, okay, that's just a little movement under my feet there, Josh. Yeah. Got me worried.
Yeah, no. And hey, if you're thinking earthquake, this building was built in 1911, yeah. And this one withstood the 1989 earthquake, and where the restaurant is was built in 1900, The 1906 earthquake, we're standing on bedrock in this building. So if you're worried about an earthquake, come here, and you'll be fine, because this has withstood 3 major earthquakes.
I'm feeling safe, and I'm in good company, and I've got a beer not too far away. So as we wrap up here, guys, in terms of brewing and trends, what are people drinking, especially here in San Francisco, in the Bay Area? Are they leaning one way or the other?
Well, I think there's a lot of seasonality with what people drink, especially when you come to an establishment like us. We're seeing right now a trend of what we're seeing on the numbers from our side is IPAs are always going to be killer. But then when you get into the lighter beers, we're seeing our Mexican lager be a top seller, and our Kolsch is a top seller. So right now we're going to be going into the summer swing of things. We're starting a Kolsch program coming up in the next couple of weeks, where if you've been to Germany and Cologne, they have the 200 milliliter glasses, the little cylinders.
Yeah.
We're going to start a program out in the beer garden and be the first in San Francisco to have the almost replicate of what if you were in Germany, they go around with a little spindle, yeah. And you just give them a token and you literally get a shot of beer, and it's always cold and it's cheap and it's something cool because you can feel like you're actually getting a German experience in a German beer garden.
I'm sure folks come to you often as the brewmaster, Justin, and go, hey, I want to know how to make beer. What do you say to them?
Well,
good luck.
Yeah. I get a book, you know, get a homebrew system, go to a homebrew supply shop, and start small. I think it's necessary to graduate to all grain brewing eventually, but there's nothing wrong with starting out with extract brewing. It's a far simpler approach and a good way to introduce yourself to the process.
Yeah. In the future here, beer making classes ever?
Yeah, actually, I am going to bring out my homebrew system I still have that I built 12 years ago and bring it out to the deck, and we'll probably do a homebrew day. We also want to do a home beer competition where we're going to have home brewers bring in their beer, and Justin and I and maybe a couple other brewers will judge, and whatever beer wins, we want to have them be able to produce it on our system and sell it here once a year. So I think home brewers are very crucial, very important and crucial to the success of craft brewing as a whole, and so we recognize, as myself coming from a home brewer, that you can do it. It just takes a lot of time, a lot of money that I don't have, and a lot of patience, and things can happen if you do it the right way. And I think, one of our mottos, smile, there's beer, is something that makes me smile every day that I come into here, because we're making great product and the beer is second to none here. And, we're making, standing on our own here.
Folks, if you've just joined us, you've just missed a great interview. San Francisco Brewing Co. You'll find them in Ghirardelli Square. Brewmaster Justin, thank you. Josh, founder, owner, father, maker of great brews. Let you have the last word. Why should people come and pay you a visit?
Well, definitely if they want to experience unique and seasonal beers and fresh product, again, tank to tap. The other thing I forgot to mention is the beer wall. We're the first brewery in California with a beer wall. So that means essentially you can walk up with a RFID card like you were in an office building, put it in, and get your own beer. So self-service draft system, directly tank to tap. We're the first in California with it.
That's a beautiful thing. Yeah. Sign me up. Folks, come pay the guys here a visit. You will not be disappointed. If you love your brews, you're going to love what they're serving up here. San Francisco Brewing Co. You'll find them in Ghirardelli Square. We'll have the beer notes for you and more on Josh's story and Justin's story at kcbsradio.com and click on Foodie Chap. More beer, please.
Cheers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.